Can I tell you a funny story about this theme song?
Absolutely. What is it?
I had a cat named Declan, named after Elvis Costello. And Declan was your typical cat and wouldn't listen to me. But when I whistled the theme to the Andy Griffith Show,
he would throw rocks into a pond.
No. He would come running.
Oh, he would?
Yeah, and it was magical. I could call his name forever, and he'd never come. But as soon as I started whistling the theme to the Andy Griffith Show, he would come running.
He got his attention.
Needless to say, he would sit and watch the show with me.
How about that?
How about it?
And he enjoyed, if I remember you telling me correctly, he enjoyed the black and white episodes way more than the color ones for some weird reason. I don't know why. If you're a fan of Andy Griffith's work or Don Knotts' work or their fantastic show, The Andy Griffith Show, we got a book for you. It's called Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship and a Classic American TV Show. The author of that book, Daniel DeVizet, joins us right now. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hey, it's great to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Daniel, without any question whatsoever, that's one of your most classic TV series of all time, The Andy Griffith Show.
Highly touted by felines everywhere.
Felines love it. Cats love it. People love it. But really, the heart of this book is the friendship between those two co-stars, Andy and Don. Those guys just became incredible friends, didn't they?
Yeah, I knew they were friends when I set out to write it because I'd heard it. I mean, I think Andy said, you know, I just lost my best friend to Larry King when Don died. But I didn't know anything about the substance of it. And so it was a little bit of a diving into the deep end to set out to write the book and figure out, well, what was it to this friendship? You know, what was the nature of it? And I spent 2 years basically, you know, finding out.
You know, they really seemed like friends, obviously, when you watched the show, but I had no idea that they were that tight.
Andy was even there at the end, wasn't he? When Don Knotts passed away, Andy was bedside, right?
That's right. Andy had spent most of his adult life based out of Manteo on the Carolina shore, but largely because of Don and because of their friendship, he moved out west in what turned out to be the last years of Don's life. So Andy was there, and he was there in Don's declining years. They went had dinner together at these restaurants where the tables are spaced farther apart so you can talk in privacy. And they would go dining and drinking and telling off-color jokes. And then when Don got sick, Andy, you know, drove over the hills and visited him, and he was the last visitor to his hospital bed when Don died.
That's really sweet.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, Daniel, remind us, they had worked together prior to the Andy Griffith Show, didn't they?
Yeah. There was this franchise in New York, No Time for Sergeants. It was a hit book, and it became like the trifecta, you know, a hit show on Broadway and then a hit movie. And Andy and Don separately, our two guys separately, got into the production because it was a quintessential Southern thing, and they were both these Southern guys trying to make it on Broadway. So they both got roles. Andy was the star, Will Stockdale, and Don had a small role. But they met, like, on the first or second day of production. Don sought Andy out and said, hey, you know, and Andy was whittling, which you don't see much of on Broadway. and Andy recognized Don from his voice because Don had done this radio show in the first half of the 50s. And, of course, Don knew who Andy was because he had this huge football routine that had been a million-selling record.
What it was football, right? Is that the one?
Yeah. And so Andy was well-known. And they became fast friends. And the whole second half of the 50s, they spent, you know, kind of in each other's constant company, gossiping and trading stories on fellow travelers and Broadway and drinking. And, you know, but then they, at the end of the 50s, they were separated. And this is the where the two of them meet. It's like the beginning of my book is that Don was watching television one night, like in Hollywood, and he saw this pilot for the Griffith Show. And Andy's on it, but Don isn't. And so he called him the next day and says, hey, Ange, you got a nice show cooking up there. How would you like to have a deputy? And that's been termed, you know, the most important telephone call in the history of television.
Yep.
I love that he called him Ange off the air, you know, because we just saw that in the show. Hello, Ange.
And then Andy called Don Jess, which was a play on his first name, which was Jesse. And Don hated his first name because he hated his father because his father was a schizophrenic and kind of terrorized him. So Andy called him that really to kind of tease him, but it was, you know, good-natured teasing.
Was there ever any jealousy? I don't know if people are aware of this, but during the run of the show, I think Don Knotts won, was it 5 Emmy Awards for his portrayal as Barney Fife?
Yeah, he did. And you're in the business, and anybody who's like a comedian of today or comedic performer, he's like a legend, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
5 friggin' Emmys.
Yep.
And Andy was deeply resentful of this, although it didn't hurt their friendship. But, yeah, it was like a positive sort of healthy sort of resentment, competition sort of thing. Like, Paul and John or something, you know. And Don was resentful of Andy's financial success because he was half owner of the Griffith Show. He owned half of the show.
And nice. It
was making him very wealthy. So I write in the book, and this is, you know, newly revealed, that during the years they were on the show together, Andy never mentioned Don's Emmys. Mm. Never said, hey, attaboy, you know, good work. I think it was just too painful for him.
Well, that's not a good friendship then. I'm sorry. I mean, Don Knotts was, you know, memorable and goofy. Andy was great in the show, but Andy Taylor, you know, was just, you know, a regular guy.
Yeah.
Don went overboard, and hence the Emmys.
Yeah.
And if he was a little resentful, that's not a good friendship, in my opinion.
Well, later on, in later years, each of them was able to put this stuff behind them, and Don and Andy both, they talked about these verboten subjects later on. So on Larry King in, like, the 90s, Andy's able to make a joke about, oh, you know, I wish I had one, you know, I show it to my mother. but, I mean, Don, if you can picture this, Don, in the last 2 years, he was just a guest star, so he would come on and do, like, one show, and he'd get an Emmy for it.
Right. How about that? How about that?
When did they hook up with Gomer Pyle? Because I remember when he was on the Mayberry show, I always was blown away the first time. Come on, remember the first time you heard him sing and you were like, what?
That's
Shazam, he can sing?
Yeah.
How did they hook up for the Andy Griffith show?
Yeah, he was a meteoric sort of character in Hollywood. He showed up and was working as a film cutter or something. And I'm talking about Jim Nabors now. So
yeah.
He went on to into this nightclub called The Horn, which was where all the entertainers went late at night. And he had this act where he would do this aw shucks sort of thing, but then he'd break into opera. And it was like, oh my God.
It's bizarre.
And it was just as bizarre as that sounds. And Andy was turned on to him at some point and hired him. And he just became this massive star within, like, weeks. I mean, I'm talking, he was on the cover of TV Guide, you know, circulation 20 million, a number of times. And they were both, they loved working with him. You know from those shows, those episodes with Gomer on them, there's this incredible three-way chemistry. I mean, it's crazy, crazy television. And they both, my subjects were actually sort of envious of Jim because Jim Nabors was such a natural talent, whereas Andy and Don had both worked for years to become famous or even known. And Jim just overnight became this huge deal. And Don actually went to therapy over it.
Did he? Yeah.
He was in therapy constantly. But
we're talking to Daniel DeVizet. His book is called Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship and a Classic American TV Show. It's about, of course, Andy Griffith and Don Knotts. I'm sure you noticed this, Daniel, in the first couple of seasons of the Andy Griffith Show, his character, Andy Taylor, is portrayed as something of a country bumpkin. And then a couple years in, all of a sudden, he got really wise. What was behind that? Why did he change so dramatically?
Yeah, this is a great story. Don was brought in as a kind of a one-off guy. They weren't even sure they were going to hire him. But after the first episode, you know, they spotted the chemistry and they got him on a contract. Well, the second episode, which is called Manhunt, and it's a fan favorite. It's a great episode. On that one, Don was so just crazy and good and amazing that Andy basically, who's the showrunner, remember, he owned half the show. He was kind of in charge. He said, look, from now on, Don's going to be the funny one. I'm going to be the straight guy. We're going to be, like, you know, playing off each other, straight man, funny man. And from then on, for the whole rest of the show, the remaining 7.5 years, Andy was the straight guy. He was like the fatherly sort of Lincoln-esque sort of figure. And Don and the crazy mechanic and the crazy barber and the crazy town drunk all just kind of revolved around serious, straight Andy. But it didn't start out that way. And if you watch the first bunch of episodes from the first season, Andy is really, what do they call it, broad, you know,
yeah,
like pratfalls and overbearing, kind of in a sort of funny way, but it was almost a little painful, and Andy didn't like watching those shows later on.
But, you know, that version of Andy was very much like Andy Griffith's stand-up version when he would do bits like the football bit we were talking about earlier. It was the country bumpkin telling you what it was like where he lives, and then all of a sudden he changed so dramatically. But it was so smart of him to do that, to realize it's better served for the show for me to be the straight guy.
He didn't think the bumpkin character would be enduring. He didn't think it would last. He thought it would last maybe half a season, and people would tire of Will Stockdale, of that shtick. Even though, you're right, that was what Andy was known for. Everything he'd done prior to that moment was big, whether it was big comedy or big drama, like The Face in the Crowd, big roles, you know, just scenery shredding roles, right, up until then.
I was just telling Wendy that if you haven't seen Face in the Crowd, it's so worth seeing for a lot of reasons. But number one is to see a very different side of Andy Griffith, a very, very serious side. I love that movie. He's so good in it.
Yeah, Elia Kazan, you know, picked him out, and I mean, it was like a Brando sort of performance, and Elia drew this sort of animalistic sort of anger and just raw emotion out of Andy, and he did it by kind of whispering into Andy's ears this stuff about, oh, you're no good, you know, you're white trash, you're nobody, and for Andy had grown up kind of poor in North Carolina, and this was like his Achilles heel, was being called white trash or kind of poor, you know, low-class Southerner. And so Elia just sort of worked him up into this fit and then set him loose on the set, and that was the guy you saw in the movie.
And Don Knotts did pretty well afterwards. Was he Mr. Furley on Three's Company?
Yeah,
Incredible Mr. Limpet is one of my favorite movies, although after seeing it, every time I see a fish now, I think of Don Knotts. And then you had your Andy Griffith, who went on to Matlock, of course, and did well. They both continued working.
Yeah, in Don's case, he had these sort of 5-year stints that were all very successful for him. He did like 5 Universal films, and you just named Mr. Chicken.
The Ghost of Mr. Chicken? Was that it?
Oh, I forgot about those.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton told me that Don is his favorite actor, and I mean, I'm serious. He wasn't kidding.
I could tell.
And then Don did a bunch of Disney films.
Apple Dumpling Gang, was he in
there? Yeah. I mean, I used to watch those like on probably WGN when I was a kid in Chicago. And then he did 5 years on Three's Company. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was like high school years, like middle school, high school. I remember watching it every week, and I loved that show.
I just remember Bad Polyester around time.
A lot of Bad Polyester.
And scarves.
You know, one of the
variations of it, yes.
One of the reasons the show was such a hit, Daniel, as I'm sure you're aware, is the supporting cast, all the different people who lived in Mayberry. And it's always fun to see people who were only on for a couple of episodes who do okay for themselves afterwards. Like Jack Nicholson comes to mind. I know he was in a couple episodes of the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you look at people's IMDb credits, you'll see a lot of the big actors from the second half of the 60s were on The Griffith Show in the first half of the 60s. Buddy Ebsen played a great role as a hobo, and that's a wonderful episode. Barbara Eden played this really sultry hairdresser who really didn't belong in Mayberry. I mean, my God, the men were all just jaws dropped to the floor. huge cast of characters. And yes, I think Jack Nicholson and pretty much anybody who was on any kind of – oh, and one of my favorites is Gavin McLeod. He's the guy who became the Love Boat
guy.
Sure,
yeah. Murray Slaughter on Mary Tyler Moore.
Right.
Yeah. He did a wonderful turn in a later Griffith episode as a guy who plays Sheriff Taylor in a movie. It's a weird episode, but he's hilarious. He does this horrible, over-the-top version of Andy Taylor, and it's cringeworthy, but it's very funny.
Was that called The Sheriff Without a Gun, I think, maybe? Does that sound right?
Yeah. It was a trio of episodes from season 6 whose theme is that the Taylors travel to Hollywood. It doesn't make much sense, but they're funny episodes. And they're making a movie about Sheriff Taylor, which also doesn't make any sense. And Gavin McLeod is front and center in this one episode. It is a scream. It's really good.
The book is called Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship in a Classic American TV Show, Daniel DeVizet. And what a great Christmas present this would be, because, I mean, Bill, just listening to us talk about this as we're thinking back of the memories, what a great Christmas stocking gift. I got to say that.
Well, yeah, if you put it in your bookcase, Barney stares out at you into eternity because his face is right there on the spine.
You know, for years, Daniel, here in Chicago, there was this block of television. At 6 o'clock every night, you had the Andy Griffith Show, and then at 6:30, it was Dick Van Dyke. And that was my favorite hour of the day every day, was watching those old reruns of those two shows. It was just perfect comedy.
Yeah, I loved the Griffith Show as a kid, and I guess growing up in Chicago, and I think, I don't know if both you are, I think you're both from there too.
Yeah.
It appealed to me, in spite of the fact that there's certainly nothing particularly rural about, like, you know, Belmont and
right.
No.
Or whatever. But, and yet it appealed to me, and I think it's because it was so calming. It was like herbal tea.
Yeah.
And it would just calm me down after getting home from like Lincoln Park High School, and I would just relax and watch the show, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, visual herbal tea. I like that. But and that Opie didn't do so badly for himself either.
Yeah, what did he go on to do, Daniel? Anything of importance?
One or another thing. I can't remember, but it took me a year to get him on the phone, but he was so gracious when I finally interviewed him. He was really helpful, and his father, Rance, is a class act. He's the ultimate, like, consummate Hollywood dad, because he raised him really, really well, you know, and he was on the set every single day looking after Opie, playing catch with him, getting him to his Little League games, and getting him to his little one-room schoolhouse. And so Ron was, like, raised really well, but right there on the set of the show, which you don't hear that kind of story about a Hollywood child actor very often.
All right, and someone has just texted us from the 224 area code. Do you know why Mayberry was so happy? No one was married. Barney, Andy, Floyd, Aunt B, and so on. Only one was Otis, and he was the town drunk.
This was Ron Howard may have been the first person to promulgate this theory. And the theory is, yes, indeed, there aren't really spouses. There aren't really complete nuclear families in Mayberry. It's almost like the whole town is one big family. And Andy, again, getting back to this idea that he's like the father figure. And is Opie his kid? Is Barney his kid? I'm not really sure.
I never even really thought about that until just now. I want to know about Helen Crump. Was she really an X-rated actress? That's what everybody had
Anita
said.
Anita Corsett? No, she wasn't.
But I'll tell you, if you read the book, you will learn that she and Andy had a deep and long-lasting relationship. I'm not going to call it an affair because I feel like it's bigger than that. They were an actual couple, and they were passionate and apparently in love for a very long time. And so that's why the chemistry worked so well between Andy and Helen on screen.
And then she ended up, there's a Chicago director, Del Close, who's like one of the foremost directors of improv comedy. She ended up with Del Close. That was his girlfriend for many years.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's new to me.
The book is fantastic. Daniel, you did a great job. The book is called Andy and Don, The Making of a Friendship and a Classic American TV Show. As Wendy pointed out, it makes a great Christmas gift for anybody who enjoys the work of Andy and Don. Daniel DeVizet is his name, and he's really put together a fine work. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. A quick break and then more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.